you have a Bible with you, it's never easy speaking after a bereavement announcement, but I'll do my best. I've just called this, if there's anything that can be called, titles, I like titles. So I called this The Joy of Fruitfulness. Joy of Fruitfulness. I want to read from John 15, verse 4 to verse 5. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you." I'll read that again. "Abide in me, and I in you." And I put this statement down. For all who are willing to put on Christ, well, that's really what we do. We put him on. And all that are willing to imitate him in his poverty, and I'll tell you why there's a poverty, Jesus would say, "Put me on, receive me into your deepest selves, rest in me, and walk with me in obedience." So these seven words, "abide in me and I in you," the seven words of Jesus to the Father, "I in them and you in me," John 15 and verse 4. There's something remarkable about this. It's a great incarnation. Jesus came, he died, he rose again, he lives forever. That's our hope. We believe with all of our heart that Andy went, where did he go? He went to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. No doubt in our minds, because Andy believed, this isn't my funeral sermon, but he believed something. He believed that Jesus was alive, and that was his hope. And so, we can say the same, that all of us, we might know this twofold incarnation of the Father in the Son and the Son centered in us, the people of God. Wow, how beautiful is that? So as we focus on the God baby, that's because he was both. As we focus on the God baby, the one who humbled himself to put on human flesh. That's what Christmas is about. But he put on human flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you by his poverty," the poverty of Jesus, "that by his poverty we might become rich." Wow, how beautiful. So that's what we look at. The baby Jesus, he came, divinity now is replaced with humanity. He's a human, and yet he's come in his poverty to make us rich. I think also of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to verse 9. Says, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. That's the Jesus way. Made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and given him and bestowed on him the name. The name. Yes, indeed. Indeed. So, as we think of God becoming flesh, there is a call for you and I to put on Christ. Actually, it's a major theme in Scripture. To put on Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. Romans 13 and verse 12. It's just so wonderful. Cast off the works of darkness. That's what I'm supposed to. Every day I must cast off anything that has to do with darkness about my life. And I cast it off and I put on, Romans 13 says, I put on the armor of God. When do you do that? Every day. That's part of what it means to incarnate the Lord on this earth, is that we cast off the old, we put on the new and the armor of light. And we make no provision, anything that would give our flesh opportunity. So really, there is something about putting on the, for lack of a better word, putting on the good. Putting on the good. Because if I don't, the darkness will begin to affect me. And so, as I put on the good, I think of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. It says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Okay, these are traits. These are traits of someone who's following Christ. And so, take them to your heart. Then, put them on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness. What am I doing? I'm to put it on. Kindness, humility. You can measure my spirituality by my humility. I can judge your spirituality by your humility. It ought to be. And so, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness. And again, meekness is not weakness. Patience. What are we supposed to do? Put it on. Consciously. Put it on. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And then this powerful, powerful verse. Put on love, which binds everything together. It binds everything together. When do I put it on? Today. Why? Because I may not feel loving. I might feel ticked off. I might feel upset. I might feel, you know, rejected. Whatever, a million feelings one can feel. And what is the answer to that? The answer is to put on love. It may not be mine. So, Lord, I put on, I clothe myself in these items. He said, put them on. Put on the good. And in a world of darkness and sinfulness and violence, in a terrible world, actually, and just as Jesus came into the world, so we come into the world, and we are to put on these virtues. They may not be our own. Right? They may not be, they're not necessarily our own. We didn't come up with them. There was no virtue in us these are the things of the Lord Jesus. Put on love, which binds everything together. And so as you go out of leaving your house, you're thinking of the day ahead and the people you'll meet and the appointments you have to keep and the situations you'll face and taking the car in and doing this and going to the dentist and all the things that just make up life. And as you go, you must be, because you say, oh, I'm going to have to go and see that person. I don't even like that person. That person irks me. And what must I do? Lord, just in this very moment right here, I'm just clothing myself in your love. I'm putting it on. I'm not assuming. Put it on. Put on love. Do it. Don't let this thing, just let it be. So, Lord, even though I myself, but Lord, I am choosing to put on love and patience. And bearing with one another and forgiving, being free in my spirit because I've put on these virtues that so enhance my life if I would be willing to do that day by day by day. So notice Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, putting off the old self. We know about the old self, the fleshliness of it, just the awfulness of it, what you used to do. Doug, I remember him telling me about before he came to know the Savior, that I think he was drinking on a Thursday night. He said he would get drunk on a Thursday night because his wife was at bingo. You know, those things make sense. Every guy here understands that. But when he came to know the Lord, there were things that he had to put off if he was going to walk victoriously. And I think we can all get it. Right, we get as he was finding out the old, then God said, "Now put on the new." And he used to have a motto where he liked his dog. More people he met, the more he liked his dog. That was one of his mottos. But we get that, right? We understand that this is that from our past life, boy, do we, you dragged a lot of stuff to this church. Right? Didn't you? I did too. Selfishness. So many things. Pride, arrogance, lust. And that's what we brought from out of the world. Now, what does he say? Put it off. Just cast it away. And put on the new self. How precious is that? There's the old, which has been a companion, perhaps for all of us, for a lot of years. Now we come face to face with the Lord, realize that if I'm going to incarnate the life of Jesus, then my life has to be that like Jesus. And so I put off the old, I put on the new. And this is really, you know, the cross work of Christ. That's one of the most important things, that there would be a yielding within me, that the cross work of Christ would be made complete. That as Jesus died, I die. And I come to the Lord, putting off the old self from Ephesians 4. There's a lot about this. Ephesians 4, 22. Put off your old self. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God. There's a certain godly character. Over my life, I have met people that I could honestly say about them, I didn't always know them very well, that they were very godly. And they weren't godly because they didn't smoke or drink or something. They were godly because it was evident that over the years, they kept putting on Jesus. They're putting on new. They're pushing off the old and putting on the new as a way of life. But that's what you do when you get, you're responsible for it. It's like the armor. The Lord is not going to put on the armor. He asked you to put it on. He doesn't say, Lord, put on the armor. He said, no, put you, is Ephesians 6, right? Put on the armor of God. So we put on the virtues of Jesus. And where it's difficult, where I find it hard to yield, you know, where I don't like being pushed around, or I don't like bossy people, or I don't like this. And so the Lord's not giving a choice on it. He says, cast it off. That's in your life, cast it off. Not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Spirit of God. That we're called to live a life where we incarnate the life of Jesus. And so just as he imitated his Father, so we imitate our Lord Jesus. This is what we're called to. And that's why it's so grieving when people say, I like Jesus, but I don't like the church. Yeah, how many heard? You've heard that before. I like Jesus. Everything I read about Jesus, I really like, but not his followers. How could that be? What have we done? How is it possible that your neighbor looks at you or somebody looks at you and we're not attractive. We're not seductive in the best sense of that word. We're not, and people say, I don't want anything to do with that person. They're just an arrogant beep, 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 you know. How did they get that view? Did they hang around us? Or did they sense the old self? Like I've heard people say, see, good thing that I'm a Christian. You'd be really in trouble. What? You're threatening somebody? You're threatening to punch their lights out? But fortunately, because you're a Christian, you held back? There's something deficient about that. As the Lord calls us to a complete death. And my flesh may not like that, but it's what the Lord calls us to. This is the life of Jesus. So put off your old self, Ephesians 4, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God. Now, I was intrigued, and I've spoken on this maybe last year sometime. It's underlined several times in my Bible, and perhaps yours too. Psalm 109:18 just picks up on the theme what I'm speaking on here. Psalm 109:18. What a picture it comes to me when I read it. He clothed himself with cursing. He clothed himself with cursing as his coat. May it soak into his very body like water, like oil into his bones. That is maybe one of the most interesting verses in the Bible. He clothed himself with cursing. My point is, if you don't clothe yourself with Christ, you will close yourself with cursing, or with profanity, with lustful thoughts. There, something will clothe you. It will be powerful in your life in a negative way. Cursing. There are a lot of people that curse. And some people are very proud of the fact that they curse. A very colorful language. That's what they say. I use colorful language. But the Bible says that'd be an example of somebody that he cursed and cursed and cursed every morning, putting on curses, putting on profanity, putting on lust, name it, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. He says, and may it soak into his body like water. Whatever I'm focusing on, whatever I'm moving towards, it's filling me, it's touching me. I'm becoming something. And I know what I want to become. I don't want to be a man that did not move close to Christ so that I'm overwhelmed by Christ. Right? I said I'm overwhelmed. Can it be reached in perfection? No, perhaps not. But wouldn't it be something if your life, day after day after day, was just shaped to the image of God? That you were kind and considerate and helpful and loved people. And as you did, and every day, that was, you know, your goal is when you recognize self-centeredness, you cast that off. Say, that has no right in my life. I will not have that in my life. I rebuke it. I come against it. It will not me. Lord, forgive me for allowing that to rule me even for this moment, for that day. So may it soak into his body like water, like oil into his bones. I mean, whatever this is, I don't know if this is some kind of a, Rex, you can check on the Psalms to see if this is some kind of a curse or something, but it's there, and it kind of reveals itself to us. We say, oh my goodness, Lord, is part of the old that I haven't cast off yet? I'm still kind of dragging that corpse around, and it becomes part of my life. It's disturbing. So there's a sense in which we put on the good. I don't even know, to be honest, how that's fully done. All I just know is that whether I've done it or not, we put on the good. We wear it, as it were, like a garment. So today, am I going to clothe myself with anxiety? Am I going to clothe myself with fear? Because I think as I focus on things, that's what will happen, whether I want it to or not. So to give you an example on this putting on, putting off thing. Put on, the writer says in Isaiah, put on the garment of praise. Remember that? Put on. We sing that song, I think, at least we used to. Put on the garment of praise for what? For the spirit of heaviness. So put on praise. So as we're commanded to put him on. This isn't optional. As someone who has gazed at the Lord, and later I'll show you a powerful verse of where we become imitators, he said, become imitators of God. Your very life imitating the life of Jesus. Wow. So we're commanded. It's not optional. You must put him on. Clothe yourself. Wash yourself. Bathe yourself in whatever the picture you can picture of it coming down. I've often thought that I sometimes do this, actually quite often, where I would just, as I'm finishing my reading, and I say, Lord, I just clothe myself. I don't try to get metaphysical or anything, but just to, it helps me as I picture myself being clothing my mind, clothing my heart, clothing my being, my very being. Lord, I clothe myself with you today. May Owen, I put him aside, and the darkness and the works of darkness I cast off, but I put on Jesus. So as we're commanded to do that, we're also commanded to put off the old in effect to imitate Christ. That really is the admonition. I remember reading about a man who didn't get along with his wife. And he kind of fell out of love, I guess. That's Where do you fall? I don't remember. That's an interesting expression. But anyway, he fell out of love. And he just couldn't get along with her. But the Lord spoke to him and said, no, you could get close to her. So what he did, he decided every day to put on love for her. Put on love for her. And so he just, you know, he didn't feel it naturally. There was no feelings left. It basically been trashed. The feelings had all been trashed out of the relationship. But here he said, well, but if I put on love, so every day he would ask the Lord to bathe him in love. And he didn't feel anything at first and thought, well, what's the point? What's the point of this? I don't feel anything, so I'm kind of a hypocrite. And the Lord assured him that no, he wasn't. He was true to truth, and that he should love his wife. And even though he couldn't at the time, why didn't he put on love every day for her? And so every day he's thanking the Lord for his wife. Every day he's praising God for his wife. Every day he's clothing himself. And lo and behold, if after all of those clothings he put on, he found that he loved her. That the love that flowed onto him and out from him began that he didn't hate her. He didn't resent her. He can't remember at what particular point it happened, but he knew that somehow that he focused on putting on love, and that's what he got. His feelings began to change towards her. C.S. Lewis once wrote, he said, "We do not waste time whether we love our neighbor or not. Act as if you did." I'll give that again. We do not waste our time whether we love our neighbor. Just act as if you did. What would it be like? What would it be like if I clothed myself with Christ? What would it be like if I yielded my self-centeredness to put that off and put on Jesus? You see, when you're behaving if you were behaving in a loving way, it's only a matter of time that presently you will come to live, to your behavior will begin to change. It's a repeated exercise that if I pray for my wife every day and I clothe me with love and I clothe her with love, that the end product is that you come to love them. You can't help yourself. You're not even trying to. It's just act as if you did, and it will come because of what you focus on. It will become that. So that brings me to number five, the growing in humility. I think it's one of the great things as the Lord is working in your heart, working in my heart, the cross work of Christ being more complete, the breaking of the outer man, of God shaping me, shaping you, working on you night and day, and you beholding him, being humble. That is one of the greatest things that there ever can be. If you are a humble soul, you are a rich person. The Bible is just so full of about what humility is like. But Galatians 6 and 3, if anyone thinks that he is something, see, that's the nature of pride, that I think I'm pretty okay compared to you. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. He deceives himself. You know what, if you have a discerning spirit, is that it's interesting, in a matter of moments, all the person that you're talking to has to do is open their mouth. Whatever they do, if they just open their mouth and speak, you can discern whether that, because if somehow pride just kind of comes out, it can't be hidden if it's in your heart. It just can't be. You try to hide it. Pride is what, and so as soon as I talk, you can bow your own heart and say, Lord, I'm dealing with a proud man or a proud woman. And Lord, I come to you, and I don't want to deceive myself, because if I think I'm something when I'm nothing, I must assume that I am nothing and let the Lord exalt me in due time. Right? That's what the writer is to exalt you in due time. So, well, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But to think with sober judgment. And I, you know that I think even a church can have a humility. You can, you know, you walk in and you meet people and say, is this a proud church of, this is who we are, we're kind of, or is there such a place as for a, I think there's a place for a humble church. We are humble. We have humbled ourselves, perhaps that would be a better way of putting it. And people, when they come, sense they're not arrogant people, they're not boasting and bragging, but they exalt the name of Jesus. And I hope and pray that somehow that is, would be true of us. I'm not entirely sure how it comes about, but I've experienced it. And I've been in churches where I sense, wow, what a sweetness, a genuineness in the church and the people, for sure. So, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, now what a powerful verse. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Imitators, yeah. Whatever you see when you look into Jesus who came to this world to be the Savior of this world, that we want to imitate him. That's why we put on Christ. Cast off the old, put on all the time, every day, always, that's what we're about. And not in some kind of a, you know, gritted teeth grimness about it, but in a joy. Lord, fill me and flood over me that I would be all of those traits that you desire for me. So in looking, see, how does it come about? Oh, I know how it comes about. I'm pretty sure about this part. In looking, in longing, in loving, we become like the one we envision. I just need to gaze every day. Gaze at Jesus. Say, I love you. All of my heart, I love you. I want you first in my life. Clothe me in your humility. I don't have that, Lord. I think I'm better than a lot of people. So, or at least I'm not as bad as them. That must be so awful in your sight to hear me say that. So, Lord, here I am, clothing myself in you and casting off those parts that disgust you and that you, I don't want to deceive myself. See, a proud person always deceives themselves and they go down. So, but by looking, by every day, beholding, sometimes, and I risk being sound like a kooky person, but sometimes I even picture myself, I've looked at a spot on the ceiling, not at the spot really, but just as a focal point, you say, I love you. Clothe me in you. And I don't know what that just helps me to kind of shut out the other part and let the Lord just to behold him and say, I want to become like you. Again, I think it's by continuously as you look to him today and you look to him tomorrow and you're looking and you're longing for him. And you're loving him, you become little by little, you don't even always tell. We can often tell when there's been growth in somebody's life that we know in the church. We just say, boy, so-and-so is really growing. That's amazing. They're really changing. There's something about going on in their life that's really precious. I may not know a lot, but I know this. That person has been beholding the Lord, and they've become like Jesus. I mean, they're reading the word. And they're spending time, just moments, but praising him for who he is and asking him to draw them close to himself. And then you start finding out that it's seen. You can hardly believe it. But all that time now, what is it? It's because it's the growth process. It's how it works. So whatever you focus on is what you're becoming. If you make your growth in Christ the number one thing, other than being saved, you will, I can assure you, you will be changing ever so slowly, but it will be there because the Lord is no respecter of persons. It's just something about that. So worship is one of the best examples. There's something about even coming this morning, and we came in to the presence of the Lord, And the band began to play. And we began, and I looked around to see if others were doing the same as me. We lifted our hands, and we were singing to him, and we were praising him, and we were blessing him. We were lifting up his name. In that atmosphere, just if you perpetually coming into the presence of God, there is just a change agent thing going on all the time. It's like it's the presence. I don't know what it is about it, but in worship, we clothe ourselves. There's something about it. Just as you lift your hand, say, lift up holy hands. Now, why is that? That's somehow, some way, it's important. It's not that God loves you anymore or anything. It's not that. It's that as you lift up holy hands and you behold him, you say, I love you, God. I praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you begin to pray. When you come out of that, you may not sense anything. But I could pretty well guarantee that you have put on the virtues of praise and thanksgiving. And in worship, we clothe ourselves anew in the presence of the Lord. That's why if whenever you, now some people might have legitimate reasons for what I'm going to say here, don't come late if you can help it, because you need to come into the presence. It's not to say, well, I'll just pick up the end of the song service and then see what Owen has to say. And instead of saying, no, the worship part is the part where I'm being transformed. And then, of course, teaching. But there's something about it. In worship, we clothe ourselves in the presence of Jesus, and we bless him and we praise him, and a process begins. It's miraculous. But I know it to be true. And it brings us right around to this whole thing of fruitfulness. It's intentional. Most of it, you're not far, just a fine-tuning here, just a little bit of fine-tuning, just a little bit. And what you need to be is more intentional. Don't take it for granted. Just actually say, Lord, I'm going to praise you every day. And I'm just going to see what happens. Just try it. See what will happen. And I think you will see that this joy of fruitfulness will come out of your heart as you just, I love you. Clothe myself in you. And when you have a bad day, which we all do, and we're kind of disappointed at it because we started off, Val and I, we laugh at each other because we have these grandiose ideas and thoughts. And yes, we should do that. Here's a verse. And we share verses together. And then a couple of days later, we'll say, doesn't feel quite as exciting as it did when we first looked at it, right? But you keep on. You will have days that are off, that you didn't sense anything. Don't go by the feelings of it. Just be intentional that if I do this today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, what you will have is that you'll have a pastor or pastors that are humble. I think that's how it works. If not, if we don't cast off, you have an arrogant people. Who wants that? No, nobody. And so we have this chance to just do it over time. Don't give up. Press in. Press into the Lord. And let him just conform you to the image of his son. And watch what will happen. And I know the more you gaze, the more you look, the more you behold, the more you find those traits of, you know, jealousy or just things that are broken in your life, and you come to Christ and say, I am choosing to put on the Lord Jesus Christ because he's come to earth and he wants me to be an imitator of the life that he has. It's pretty exciting. How many know, we're going to open it in just a second here, but how many know that what I'm saying is absolutely true? If you it's what you focus on that will determine. How many can say you found that? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's open the floor. Just what is God saying to you this morning? Okay, well, that was That was good. Now, I don't mean to frighten you that you can't open your mouth now for fear that we sense pride. So I'll break the ice and speak first here. At the very most, we're flawed. Let's be honest with that, right? We're flawed people. But the Lord takes us and he begins to shape us. So who's, yeah, please. Yeah, think on those things. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, very much so. It will. It will have an effect on you. We can be emphatic about it. Somebody else? Yeah, please.
I've just been noticing or learning a lot lately that because of our freedom, because of our salvation, that we're free to make a choice. Right? That every day, every situation the Lord's been showing me lately, that I can choose either to go into the darkness and the flesh, yes, or I can choose to get closer to him.
Yes.
Can
you help? What would you say? I agree 100% with what you're saying, but do we have a 15-second window to decide whether we're new creation, old creation, or because, like I say we make a choice, but we don't have all day.
No.
If I choose, if I let it go. Yeah, that way we're staying away from. That way. Thank you. That's good. Somebody else.
I really think as a believer, this is another hard to get intimate with the Lord. But sometimes you wonder, how do we get there?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny that how the Holy Spirit uses you to give us the tools, because there's always the tools in order to get to that place.
Mm. And maybe, Bobby, maybe this is where faith comes in. I must choose to believe that I'm changing.
Yeah.
Right? I can't say, well, I don't feel like I'm changing. Oh, you can't go on the feeling. But I'm choosing to believe that I'm changing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kevin.
Just on a simpler kind of level, you know, in the morning when you wake up, you have a choice, right?
Yeah. And Norman Vincent Peale might have had an idea. He might have read his Bible. Isn't it funny how many of these things are Bible things? That the Bible stated it long before anybody else did. Somebody else.
I found out that if I do it my way, it doesn't work. Sleep after the Lord that
I've given him to. Yeah, self-improvement isn't really what it's cut out to be. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, the arm of the flesh will fail every time. We can't trust one another in that sense. But the Lord is faithful. Anybody else? Let's give you a chance to.
Kind of like, yeah, I had a bad day. Just kind of, at the end of the day, kind of go, okay, God, I screwed up this day. But the next day, be like, okay, the next day is you.
Yes, yes. And that's really healthy, Tim, I think, isn't it? This day is gone, but I got the whole week to make this one better, yeah. By the way, the enemy, we're talking about warfare here. There's a force that tries to keep you away from, so you feel, oh, what's the point? I'm never going to change. And it really is the power of darkness working against us. And if you're not conscious of that, you'll be deceived many, many times. Yeah. One more. I heard one. There was another one here. Yeah. Okay, we'll have both.
This is my experience that when the Lord has turned me inside the recovery project, a part of my brokenness is recovered. I will act differently. I do not have to act in a certain way. His glory, His beauty will flow out of me.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. One more.
I just think as we come to Him, to the living Word, be clothed by Him, if we are doing that regularly, He will touch the very inclination of our heart.
Yes, yes. And it seems that we have a choice to make of how we're going to yield. I think yielding is a very important thing. That, Lord, I can't change a lot, but I yield to You. And then He can bring all the ingredients that He needs to. Ben, what's your take on this? You've been doing a lot of men ministry and dealing with men. What would you think is what's the greatest concern and what's the best thing that works? in just 30 seconds. No, he's worked with guys for a lot.
Well, we talk about this at our camps. The question in a man's heart that comes up all through our lives is, do we have what it takes?
Yeah.
In whatever situation, then usually for most of us, the answer is no many times in our youth. And so we start hiding from situations where the question comes up, or we create a false self. So I think as we grow into that, we start to realize that
yes. Yeah.
That's a humility, recognizing it's okay that I don't actually have what it takes for most of
these situations. Yeah, and that's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good word. Marcel, why don't you come and something about the spontaneous moment that's much better. Let's stand.
It's like the nightmare in school when the teacher would just pick on you right out of the way. Oh, make sure I was paying attention.
Just allow the Lord to, even this morning here, just to clothe you with Himself. Lead us, please.
Lord Jesus, we just come to You again today, Father, and we, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your goodness to us.
Yes.
God, we're so undeserving of the grace that You just pour on our lives, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I thank You for that, Jesus. I thank You for, as one had mentioned, the recovery mission in our own lives and what You're doing in our lives, Lord Jesus. And Father, as we come before You, I think of the first part of Colossians chapter 3 when it said, if You are this new creation, then set your mind on the things above. And Lord Jesus, I pray that would be our heart, that we would set our minds on the things above of who Christ is, and what You have done.
Yes.
And in turn, put away those other things and put on, Lord Jesus, the clothing of Christ. And so, God, I pray that this week, Lord Jesus, would be a week in our hearts where we undress and take off those things that are holding us back from what You would have us to become and who You would have us to be, Lord Jesus. And instead, it would be a week of dressing into those wonderful things that you have for us, Lord Jesus. Help us to take off the rags and put on the tuxedos and the beautiful princess dresses, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that, we would walk about clothed in Christ this week. Yes. I pray it would be a new week. I pray it would be different than last week, Lord Jesus. And so, God, I just thank you. I pray your blessing on this congregation. I thank you for them. And we just give you this week, Lord, and we look forward to what you will do in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, just to show compassion towards Val, she's going to be at the back signing you up for some sandwiches or whatever it is. So check with her right away if you would, please. Thank you. Thanks for being here.